Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CreditAccess Grameen Limited Q4 FY21 earnings call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mallika. And hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to CreditAccess Q4 conference call. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Uday Kumar, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Balkrishna Kamath, the CFO, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, Vice President, Investor Relations. So we'll start with the opening remarks and then open up the call for Q&A. I thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Uday, and over to you, sir, for opening remarks.
Thank you, Renish. Good evening to everyone. I thank you for taking time and joining us today to discuss our fourth quarter and full year financial performance. We completed the financial year 2021 on a very positive note by achieving the targeted loan portfolio growth, robust operating profits, significant containment of asset quality stress, improving collection trend, and strong liquidity and capital position. Our consolidated gross loan portfolio increased by 13% YoY to INR 13,587 crore, with an active borrower base of 39.12 lakh. Adjusting for the accelerated write-off of rupees 273 crore, the gross loan portfolio would have been grown by 16% YoY to INR 13,860 crore. Our consolidated customer base declined from 40.57 lakh to 39.12 lakh, primarily due to write-off of over 2.4 lakh delinquent borrowers of customers. Our new borrower additions have gained good traction in the second half of FY21. Overall, we added close to 4 lakh new borrowers at CGL, primarily during the second half, and at MFL, we added 1.6 lakh borrowers during the same period. Business momentum continued in Q4 with consolidated disbursement of rupees 4,726 crore, up by 42% YoY and up 3% QoQ. New disbursal made in FY21 accounts for over 69% of overall portfolio, displaying stable asset quality. Collections continued to improve on a monthly basis, increasing from 91% in December 2020 to 94% in March 2021 in CGL. Overall collections, including arrears, touched 97% in March 2021 in CGL. Similarly, at MFL, collections improved from 86% in December to 90% in March 2021, with overall collections, including arrears, touching 91%. In line with improving collection strength, there was significant reduction in our overdue portfolio. At CGL, PAR 0 declined from 11.8% in December 2020 to 5.2% in March 2021, and PAR 60 of 3.5% and PAR 90 at 2.9%. Excluding Maharashtra, PAR 60 was 2.7% and PAR 90 was 2.3%. As of March 2021, we had 94.8% full paying, 3.3% partially paying, and 1.9% non-paying customers. This has again validated the strength of our business model and our capability to successfully navigate through potential stress events. At MFL, PAR 0 declined from 14.8% in December to 14% in March 2021, and with PAR 6.7, PAR 60 of 6.7, and PAR 90 of 4.7. While reduction of PAR is relatively lower in MFL, there is a higher proportion of PAR is partially paying customers, where we expect to see continued reduction in overall exposure. We have put a strong support system to closely engage with the field team of MFL to ensure strict monitoring and control. Talking briefly about our operating profitability in Q4 FY21, our consolidated total income grew by 51% YoY from 482 crore to rupees 726 crore. Consolidated NII grew by 59% YoY from 292 crores to 464 crores. Despite derecognition of rupees 20 crore interest income on Stage 3 portfolio, despite income Stage 3 portfolio of 20 crore. Pre-provision operating profit grew by 83% YOY from INR rupees 180 crore to 320 crore. We booked an upfront gain of rupees 89 crore from direct assignment of rupees 1129 crore in Q4 FY21. Despite a challenging business environment, we are able to exude confidence from lenders in purchasing portfolio from us. We have currently utilized around 50% of our overall DA sanction. On the back of strong interest income growth and upfront gains from DA, we decided to build sufficient balance sheet cushion ahead of the impact of the second wave of COVID-19 pandemic. We decided to recognize accelerated write-off of loan accounts worth rupees 273 crore with 180 days DPD and no payment in January 21. This resulted in additional credit cost of rupees 64 crore in Q4 FY21. Further, we also decided to create additional COVID buffer of 112 crore, which is 0.09% of the ECL on a consolidated basis. Our total ECL provisions on consolidated basis stood at 623 crore, amounting 5.01% of loan portfolio against GNPA of 4.40%. For the full year, total income grew by 45% YOY from INR 1706 crore to INR 2466 crore. NIA grew by 36% YOY from INR 1092 crore to 1484 crore, although there is derecognition of total 99 crore interest income on Stage 2 portfolio during the period. Pre-provision operating profit grew by 36% YOY from 699 crore to 952 crore. Impairment and financial instruments increased from INR 237 crore to 717 crore, including the accelerated write-off. This includes write-off of 6461 crore, out of which 142 crore was on account of pre-COVID GNPA and 273 crore was accelerated as explained earlier. Further, there was additional 112 crore of additional COVID buffer. Conservative provisioning write-off led to profit after tax decline from 336 crore to 131 crore. Adjusted profit after tax, excluding the impact of accelerated write-off and additional COVID buffer, was rupees 260 crore. In FY21, translating into adjusted ROA of 1.8% on consolidated. Adjusted ROA at CAGL was 2.2% in FY21, while it was 0.3% at MMFL. Profitability at MMFL was lower on account of a couple of reasons. The interest income of MMFL declined primarily on account of reduced lending rate, interest income derecognition, with the lower interest accrual due increase in overdue portfolio. Further, there was an increase in employee expenses in line with the expanded average employee base. The credit cost was also higher due to gradual conversion into provisioning policy with CHGL and also due to legacy portfolio impacted by Gaja explained earlier. While the return of portfolio of FY21 was rupees 64 crore, it included INR 24 crore belongs to the pre-COVID GNPA. We are closely working with the MFL team to align the operational process with CHGL. A detailed process integration roadmap has been devised to ensure seamless transition towards the target operating model based on individual business strengths and expected synergies. The integration roadmap outlines the alignment of product and technology architecture, alignment of branch infrastructure, alignment of process and policies, chain management, business unit sensitization, and field force training, manpower assessment and role deployment, and phase-wise conversion of branches into CAGL. The process integration is expected to be completed in first half of FY22. This will subsequently result in alignment of MFS operational profitability, asset quality, and trade cost with CAGL in FY21-2023. On the liquidity front, happy to note that at consolidated level, we have maintained liquidity of over 15% of gross AUM and holding undrawn sanction over 2,614 crore. We need to talk about the current unprecedented situation. The sudden spread of second wave of COVID-19 pandemic has again created a challenging operating environment for us. We are anticipating the collections to witness a temporary decline in Q1 in FY 2022 on account of several intermittent lockdowns restrictions being imposed across various states. The situation impacts the customer's ability to manage their activities as well as our ability to ensure seamless meeting the customer. As a precautionary measure, we have already taken accelerated write-offs and built additional COVID provisional buffer in 2021. Our preliminary estimation is that COVID 2.0 is quite devastating, but impact on business will be lower compared to FY 21. We draw confidence based on sufficient learning acquired last year to effectively manage the payment behavior of borrowers in case of long duration moratorium. Post first wave, we have revamped and updated our customer contact database, enabling us to reach almost every customer through phone. We have also enabled various mechanisms to enable cashless repayments for customers. We also enabled on-field disbursement, which do not require customers to visit our branch. Further, customers with weak cash flow and having exposure to impacted sectors mostly have defaulted in first wave and have not been provided any incremental credit. The remaining customers have greater resilience to withstand impending economic downturn, if any, already managed to navigate during last financial year. Significant efforts from MFIN have ensured MFIs to be listed as essential service in many states and working on enabling this in other states also. This reinforces recognition by the government on the importance of MFIs in enabling financial stability at the bottom of the pyramid. This is very, very positive news for us. CAGL has proactively maintained a strong engagement with local administration through many contributions to fight COVID through CSR initiatives to support the communities. Our focus in these testing camps will be safeguarding the health of our employees and customers. The company has announced various measures to support our employees. The company shall reimburse the vaccination cost for all employees and one immediate family member. If any employee is not covered under ESIC or insurance, the company will reimburse an amount of 50,000 if such employee has tested positive for COVID. If admitted to hospital, current monthly salary will be paid in advance. Further, 14 days of quarantine leaves and 28 days of COVID leaves have been granted over and above the sick leave. All employees are insured with adequate health cover and life cover of 3 times of their cost to company. Additionally, in an unfortunate event, when any employee succumbs to COVID, company will check if any immediate family member can be offered an employment at CAGL. Else, we shall extend a monthly contribution for a period of 12 months equivalent to the last drawn salary of the deceased employee. We shall closely evaluate the business impact of the ongoing disruptions and derive our experience of FY21 to stabilize our business. We will evaluate the support our borrowers using various measures as announced by RBI on 5th May 2021. For strong balance sheet, adequate liquidity and capital position, stable credit rating, strong relationships with our lenders should enable us to receive continued funding access over coming months. Further, our demonstrated capability of managing asset quality stress witnessed multiple times in the past, backed by our resilient business model, coupled with highly experienced stable management team, should give comfort and confidence to our lenders, investors, and various stakeholders. With this overview, I would now like to open the forum for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So my question is with respect to the collection efficiency in the month of April for Credit Access Grameen and for Madura Microfinance. And what would it be in the key states such as Maharashtra, Karnataka, and Tamil Nadu?
Yeah, there is a decline in the collection efficiency. particularly in the second half of April. It's we can't exactly say it is completely that is going to be a trend because many of the interruptions were there. It's about 5%-6% decline over March actually. Exact, we have to still evaluate because there are a lot of places we have given some delayed time for the customers, and we have given also some places where higher disturbances. We have also given repayment holidays in some places. So it is not a correct picture, but overall about 5%-6% reduction from March numbers.
Okay. So my second question is with respect to our disbursement trend. So while we've seen 4% decline in the customer base on a year-on-year basis. But our disbursements during 4Q were really strong. I mean, especially in the month of March. So our overall outstanding per customer has increased, you know, on a year-on-year and sequential basis. So what explains this? Like, have you got more comfort on the existing customer base, or how do we look at this?
Sipal, actually, you know, first half year we have not acquired any client, all of you know about. But the second half we acquired 4 lakh new customers. This person speaks on that also. So 4 lakh new customers. The drop is basically for two cones. One is a natural attrition. Normally 5 to 8% natural attrition is there. And almost 2.4 lakh customers we have drop. Basically numbers reduced because of the accelerated rate of what we did. So that is why it is down. So second is disbursement will be majority renewal with the increased limit wherever needed, because we go by the vintage linked increase, and we have more than 10 lakh customers who are more than 3 years with us. Obviously that keep increasing. And the fourth point is our portfolio per customer has been increasing by 10 to 12% CAGR over last 5 years. So there is no deviation trend on that. It is because first 6 months we are not dispersed. Second 6 months were dispersed. There is a small aberration because it's an ongoing basis. It would have been about 10 to 12% variation. It looks little higher now because 6 months we are not dispersed. Dispersed majority between Q3 and Q4, that means automatically outstanding for customer little high for the disbursement, which otherwise would have done in Q1 and Q2. Otherwise, we are not seeing any specific deviation in this particular trend.
So the bucket wise ticket size increase would be by 10 to 15% is what you are indicating, right?
Maybe. It is not ticket wise. It is basically we don't go by ticket wise. We don't buy gross portfolio per customer because we provide a credit line to customer, and customer can access multiple loans if they need. So that's why we go with the GLP per customer. For example, the customer may have one or more products because our product suite is like that over the last 8 years.
Right. Okay. And so this quarter we've got the liquidity on balance sheet is high. So that is, it's close to 16-17%. So that is purely prudent practice that we are doing for this quarter, or incrementally we would want to maintain a higher liquidity on balance sheet?
See, when we met the board in January Q3, considering that we are still not out of COVID, and we still there could be some liquidity crunch might come. That is why we thought fit to maintain 15% till March 31st. And looking at the eventuality, we can reduce it. But currently, again, we are sitting with another serious issue. That is why we would continue to maintain close to 15% till June end, and then review further. Because it is very important to have sufficient, important to conserve sufficient cash, even at the cost of a little extra negative carry for that.
Right. Well, thank you so much, sir, and good luck for the next quarter. Take care, sir.
Thank you, Sipal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. A couple of questions. One, you know, I'm looking at this chart.
Okay.
So I have a question on, you know, this chart on page number 6 of your presentation. On the left-hand top side, reduction in the percentage of portfolio of non-paying customer. Just wanted to know, how does one read that? So 95% of the customer have done whatever has been due until today, or for March 21, whatever demand was raised, they paid that amount.
It is for the due for the month of March and collected for the month of March.
Okay. So some of this might be still overdue, because you would be adjusting, you know, those that money with, you know, if any old EMI is still overdue.
So that is what, if I collected old EMI, then it moves to next level. You can see there are two, one blue line on green line.
Right.
The blue is due for March, collected for March, for example, 94%. Right. 97% is including the overdue collection.
The left-hand side chart.
Correct. The left-hand chart, there are three December, January, February, March, right?
Right,
March, 94% is due for March, collected for March. Whereas 97% is shows, which includes the earlier payments, if any, somebody would have paid, then it actually moved up to 97%.
Right. A second question is on the next slide, you know, in terms of overdues or let's say PAR. I understand that you mentioned that, you know, April has been slightly weaker than, you know, March. But in looking at, you know, the lockdowns, you know, in phase manners across various geographies, you know, how do you expect, you know, this PAR 30 and PAR 60 to pan out over a period of next 12 months?
It completely depends on how fast the COVID speed will come down. There are various scientific and research says that this wave might come down very fast also. So based on that, we need to see. That is why we say Q1 in terms of collection may be difficulty. Then the moment the things are normal, you are accessible to customer, is normal. So once the ability to meet the customer is high, obviously we will come back to normalcy. It is quite difficult to predict for the entire year at this point of time, because we just suddenly seeing this whole issue. It depends on how fast. For example, if you see Maharashtra, it started somewhere in 3 weeks back and suddenly already started stabilizing or reducing the total COVID cases. Maybe a similar case in Punjab or Chhattisgarh. So it looks like it goes very fast and then coming down. That I'm not a specialist on that. But if whatever projecting is true, and if things are coming down back to a bit of stability by May and or June, I think we will have at least three quarters available for us. If you see the last year, I think the whole industry got only two quarters or 5 months only. Even then, industry turned around. Even we turned around well. We are able to come back to by and large normalcy by December. All other states, Maharashtra by March. So this is what we projected last year. We are able to do. But right now, it will be difficult to say. But if we are able to come back by quarter end, a reasonable business operation, I think three quarters is definitely sufficient for us to come back from.
And one last question, it's been lagging behind. Sorry.
Mr. Zaveri, sir, your voice is breaking, sir.
Breaking, not able to hear you.
Sorry, is this better?
Yeah, now it's better.
Yeah, okay. So the last question is on Maharashtra. You know, it's been lagging, you know, for quite some time. I'm saying not only in March, but, you know, if you look at December also. You know, that was behind the curve. Any particular, you know, reason why, you know, it's been, you know, moving behind the other states for quite some time now?
I think
I understand that, you know, recently it might be COVID, but, you know, even in December it was behind the curve.
I think we explained it very well in the last two, in fact, all three con calls. Maharashtra was struggled with almost 4.5 months of prolonged lockdown during COVID first. That has impacted the whole business environment in many districts. And then top of that, there was a flood deck situation in September, October when the lockdowns are stopped. So which has an impact on the industry and then the businesses there. That is why we always anticipated Maharashtra will come back to near normalcy only by March. It will not come by December. And non-Maharashtra all state would come back to near normalcy by December. I think we are by and large there. If you see December, other states, if you see the, I can see the same slide. Other states, the 9% is the par. Maharashtra was 19%, then par zero. Then by December, other states 4 and Maharashtra is 8.7%. Basically, there's a 3 month gap between Maharashtra and non-Maharashtra, which was predicted by us earlier on.
Mr. Zaveri,
thank you so much. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, sir.
How are you? Hope everything's fine.
Good. Good. Only thing is the last fourth or fifth quarter, we are all talking from, all of us are remotely. That's the only thing. I'm thinking when we'll all come together and meet.
Okay, great. Okay, sir, I'll quickly ask my question. So my first question is, if I look at the collection efficiency for MMFL, basically asset quality performance for MMFL and CAGL, what I notice is that in MMFL, the performance is a little weaker. The stage 3 has gone up. And the PAR numbers have not reduced as much as they have reduced in CAGL between, let's say, December and March. So anything particular in MMFL which is not working out or any geography, etc., where you are seeing higher stress?
Actually, MMFL was always a bit of lag in collection from the beginning because of the different model we operate there, which we had to get aligned with the Grameen model, which was a monthly model, and the recognition also a little late. If you see the collection, lagging collection also quite high. If you see part payment is still about 12-13% of customers. So
right. That's
why eventual rate off is not high there. So the delay in recognition and some delay in collection. So lagging collection is happening, but otherwise it is still at par with the industry kind of thing.
Okay. And stage 3 there is still increasing. So probably that trend will continue. Stage 3.
It is stage 3 increase now because it is, as I said, in CAGL it was increased in December.
Okay,
here it is in March. There is a gap in the quarter. We are coming quarterly only, right? So there is a change. There is a slight change. There is slight delayed recognition there because of the modality. It's a monthly model. That's why there is slight recognition. Because in CHL we recognize the 60 days itself, right?
Right.
And we are recognizing 90 days. That's why the gap of one quarter happens while recognition. Otherwise, there is no much change.
Okay. And sir, the other thing I just wanted to ask is that of the customers that you have acquired in this quarter, what geographies have you acquired them in? And what is the disbursement ticket size to the newly acquired customer?
See, our new customer is actually on an average will be 30-35,000 because we go by a 40-45,000 limit and restrict the first loan between 30-35 and sometimes lesser also. Average maybe about 30-35, maybe Nilesh, if you have the data you can view. But the majority of the of this acquisition is happened in the newer states, particularly Gujarat, Rajasthan, UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, and Orissa, and to some extent Tamil Nadu also, and Tamil Nadu and Kerala also, but very less. In fact, there's a negative growth of customers in Karnataka and Maharashtra. So particularly other states, this person has the new acquisition has happened because Maharashtra particularly we did not allow the employees to add new customers because wherever delinquency is the collection efficiency is less than 90% or 90%. We said no new customer to be added in that branch. Their only job is to manage and enhance the sustainability there. Then and only where the collection fee is better, there we enable the branches to acquire the customer. By default, Maharashtra is lesser. Karnataka is very low, and even otherwise also Karnataka was very low. Majority of other states.
So, sir, just going by this 32.
Sir, this is the operator. I would request you to rejoin the queue for.
Yeah, this is just a continuation of this question.
And if you see one more slide, I don't remember which slide. We also given the bifurcation of the new disbursement and the disbursement between the old geography, old branches and new branches, which is I think 61% growth comes from the new branches.
Yes, yes, that, yeah.
And that automatically tells that it's a new geography.
Okay, so sir, just squeezing in the last part of the question, basically. If 32,000, 33,000 is the average disbursement ticket size for the newly acquired customer, on an implied basis, what would be the ticket size or outstanding for the older customers?
It could be between 35,000 to, you can go up to 50,000. We have about 12 to 14% customers having outstanding more than 50,000.
12 to 14%.
They will be okay. Maybe more than 4 years or 5 years later. So it's actually, as the vintage keeps going up,
right,
the limit also keeps going up.
Of
but
course.
Subject to overall limit of all MFIs what they borrow.
Understood.
So what we observe is more and more vintage customers predominantly stays with singly with us and then try to take the little higher money from us. So almost 40 or 43% of our customers are only with us. So obviously they will probably take the higher outstanding based on the vintage.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the time. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for taking my question. Sir, I had two questions. One is a bit subjective. One way to look at things as they stand is that, you know, last time we had a big hit in the first two quarters and then we had to sort of quarter to revive them, which you have done well. Now again, we have maybe a hit of one quarter and then you will have three quarters to hit. But the other way to look at it is that, if I give a medical sort of a thing, you know, somebody was already in ICU and now again they have been hit. So your category of customers have now been hit twice. And given that sort of a scenario, do you think that this is going to compound the problem or this is sort of a similar problem as last year? So this is number one, because this has happened twice now. Second is, you have a old portfolio which was there till June and then you started disbursing to maybe a better category of customers. So how do you juxtapose this sort of analogy, you know, where you had new portfolio and now you have old portfolio? So how do you expect this new portfolio, which was presumably not so much hit in the first wave, how does that portfolio, you know, how can that perform? So these are my questions.
Actually, both are subjective. Okay. The first one is interesting. Maybe the same analogy, you know, if somebody has once COVID, probably he will get more immunity and there's a less chance of getting one more COVID. So then probably once we learn the lesson in the first 1 year, probably that lesson will help us to manage the second also. So that's what I will put it back. The same with the customer. The customer would have struggled and survived and able to come back and pay back the money. I think this time also she will again navigate and survive and pay back the money because she wanted to keep her credit history clean. Okay, that is where your 94% customers who have struggled probably, but they have come back to normalcy, they paid back despite 6 months of difficulty, that itself shows that there is a resiliency with this customer and there's high chance of they will start coming back as the situation improves. Similarly, from the employee and the management side, you know, the experience what we gained over the last 1 year in managing and navigating this also will be an experience. Third is you look at the situation in the ground. One is huge interference of MFIN and the association with regulator, with the government. Regulator picking specifically of MFIs again and again. There's a support for MFIs. The last week only they come back and said, Government of India, when they unlocked it last year, made first actually so MFIs can operate. That means there's a recognition. Now, Government of Maharashtra or Karnataka government or Jharkhand or Bihar, when they do a lockdown, they say banks and MFIs can operate. So that itself gives a lot of different positive factors for microfinance. These are the positive things. That's why I feel that we have a better booster than the earlier without booster. So we will be able to manage better. That's my assumption here. And on the, I think new and old customer also same thing. Old customer definitely behaved resiliently, able to come back to normalcy. And another 3 months, probably yeah, she knows that, okay, I have difficulty, but I can come back here and I can navigate. And then in the microfinance, almost 70%, 80% of the customers are in essential services. And they are operating in a local, rural, their own ecosystem. And that cash still turning may be a little lower than the earlier. But the moment they improve, they will come back and it will be normal. That's why we believe both the category of customers will be able to come back to normal.
So would you say the new category of customers are a bit better than the old category of customers? Would you say that they are of higher quality and hence their ability to withstand the second wave should be of a higher order than what we witnessed in a old category of customers in first wave?
No, I would say old category of customer will be more resilient because they have experience already. New category of customer not necessarily completely resilient at this point because we are yet to test them. But our experience with microfinance customers, because they are operating in essential services and their ability to come back to normalcy is much faster, which happened earlier also. The new also should be able to come back because they also gone ahead or experienced this in the last year already once. Whether it is with us or somebody else, or without borrowing also, they would have experienced the situation once already. So that learning should help them.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity.
Hi.
You already answered that how you are tackling this wave 2 and the way we have seen wave 1, I believe we'll sail through the wave 2 and even if there is wave 3, we'll clear that as well because there are talks that wave 3 will also come. So my only question is, till now, whenever we talk about the MFI industry, everyone talks, including you talk that the MFI industry have been through various events in the past 10 to 12 years. But those events, if we see, they were a particular event and it was at a particular point of time. Whereas this event is altogether different and it is elongated over, say, 1, 2, or 3 years, whatever it may be. We don't know when it will end. So, one, what's the learning from this type of event? And two, what type of future do you see for the MFI industry?
Yeah, I think it is a very pertinent question, Nikhil. I agree that we need to be ready for faster events of the cases. We need to be more efficient. We need to be more, resilient in terms of operation. And we need to be ready for bad times all the time. That is one of the things we always worked in CAGL. That's what I always call, delivering in the good time is, it can be done by anybody, but delivering in the bad time is very difficult. That should be the character of the companies, which we are trying to work on that. I'm not sure this is specific for microfinance industry. Probably it will be specific for many industries. So it's not necessarily only for microfinance industry, this kind of situation. Slowly, I think the regulators also may be able to come and help and create a space for a little higher revenue in terms of margin, which is the one we are also trying to request as an association to RBI because we encountered larger credit costs because of this in the last year and next year. So one of the requests what we have been lobbying with the regulator is to enhance the revenue for this, I mean, like a margin, at least for the interior. And in the meantime, a regulator already working on the harmonizing the business. Probably already we have from an industry delegation has given the request of our recommendation of what should be the components for the harmonization. So I think regulators also looking at, because we represented this to regulators also, there may be some benefit in terms of while doing the harmonizing the regulation. That is one side. Other side, definitely we should be resilient, we should be efficient. Our entire process, the processor technology delivery model should be effective for the bad time. That definitely it is required. And then we are working on that anyway. To see, we continuously work on the efficient factors.
Okay. And sir, the direct assignment transaction which we have done is just for creating liquidity as of now, or will be continuing doing a DA transaction going forward?
So it's an important instrument always, because we always believe that up to 15 to 20% of the total liability can be short term, and the balance should be medium and long term, and then majority should be long term. These are overall, right? So that is one idea. Second is, when the bank sanctions money in the last quarter, obviously they will some of them ask for the on the book. Some of them we oblige them. Here we have a good sanction. I think for the banks also this year it was very important, because they could not do many DA transactions with many institutions. So there are some insistence that they need, we need to help them. So we did that. Despite that, we utilized only 50% of the sanctions what we have with us. So that is why some of them may be available for us to use in the next Q1 or Q2 also. But it is basically on the liquidity front to have at least 15% available as on March 31st. That is very important for us, because we are not sure where we are going to going in the Q1 and Q2. That is why we thought to create sufficient liquidity as of March.
That is helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Gulati from Haitong. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, my question is, for the disbursements that we have done in Q4, especially in the month of March, so what is the trend in terms of collections that we are seeing in April? Are these customers more likely to sort of stop paying because they just got the loans and they're experiencing the lockdown and the business got disrupted?
See, as I say, almost 70 to 80% of them are in the essential businesses stage. Their business has not stopped, and it is not that they are all of them are first borrowers, and they are all with the company for a long, and they have taken renewal. Maybe, let us say March, if I take, maybe 50,000 customers may be new, but would have discussed more, maybe 3 to 5 lakh loans. So they are with us, and many of them are with us for more than 2 years, 3 years, 4 years kind of thing. So it's not that they just borrow and take advantage and go. If that is the case, all of them would have taken, when there's a 6 month moratorium, everybody would have taken the route of defaulting, right? So I think we should be understanding the situation. We should recognize the situation. And by and large, no such trend that the new customer defaulting. Overall, we saw about 4 to 5%, but I will not be able to tell that the default, because some of the cases we have given deferment. Some of them, because some places, some districts, administration not allowed to do anything. Only 2 days they can come out for 2 hours kind of thing. So there are many impediments are there. That's why we should not treat them defaulted at this point moment. I would treat that their inability to either enable it for us to collect, or their inability not to access and pay. So we should treat that level at this point of time for the April.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Akshay Ashok from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I just wanted to know, now that group meetings and all are not happening, is it, or are group meetings and all happening in rural area?
No. Right now we are not allowing any group meeting. We are asking one among the group members to keep the money ready and our employee will pick up and come. So we connected with them over a phone and we talked to them, and but we are not allowed them to form any group meetings, anything at point of time. But this time very important for the health of our customers and employees, because the COVID is also, I mean, and quite fast spreading in rural also. We should be extremely
spreading in rural also. It's spreading in rural also. Oh, okay. Yeah, so are the online collections, have you enabled it?
Sir, I would request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions.
I'm not even been
allowed. Anyway, about your question, Akshay, we enabled the online payment availability to all the customers, but adoption is very, very low. Only in case of a retail customer that adopted it, but whereas micro customers, it is still very low. Maybe 3,000-4,000 customers pay online, because money has to be in the bank account for them to pay, because cash they cannot do it. So going to bank and deposit money itself is a challenge for them at this point of time for them. So adoption is quite
low. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the detailed disclosures in the presentation. I just wanted a clarification on a data point. So our total restructuring book is 75 crores, or that's just for credit access? And what would be the restructuring for NMFL?
Nilesh, MFL, we have not done restructure, right?
Yes.
We have not done that restructure. It's only entirely for credit access family.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, how to read? So basically 99.5% of the restructured book is less than 30 DPD, is it?
Less than 30 DPD.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Basically, close to a 98% collection there, Roman.
Okay.
But still,
okay.
We kept in, but still that is in the stage 3 and provided.
So the provision would be as per the RBI policy of 10%?
No. We provided as a stage 3. I think we provided 74% for that.
On the whole portfolio?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And that would be a part of the ECL buffer of 103 crores that we are referring to?
No, not that. Not normal ECL, under normal ECL.
So the 103 crore of, or total 112 crore of additional provisions that we are talking about is over and above these provisions?
It's an overlay. It's a complete overlay.
Okay.
Within the ECL, on the 75 crore, the stage 3 provisioning has been made already.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. The collection efficiency number that you mentioned for the month of April, around 4-5% down from March, is it for the full month of April or is second half of April we have seen that decline?
It is basically the repayment problem is only second half. So first half is as equal to March number, Nidesh.
Sure. And the customers who are from where we have not been able to repay, is there any correlation with their repayment behavior during the first wave, or it's completely different set of customers?
I don't think. Nilesh, we have any analysis? I don't think we did, because it is just last 2 weeks, so we don't think we did analysis, but we can, maybe you can be in touch with Nilesh and he can give the
sure.
Not got that level at this point of time.
Sure.
Sorry that we don't have that data right now.
No worries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Gupta from Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello,
Pranav.
Yeah, sir, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Hope everyone is okay and on your side. So just two quick questions. First is, you said that, the industry has made their recommendations or their their request to the regulator regarding the, you know, harmonization of rules. And in the same breath, you also said that, you know, you would prefer to have a little more, you know, a higher income stream in order to, you know, probably create buffers for eventualities that happen in MFI. So as a lender, would you prefer, you know, the spread cap for MFIs to be removed, or would you prefer the spread cap to be applicable to be to the, you know, other lenders who are not currently under this cap regime? That is the first question. And second question is specific to the state Bihar. So while, you know, collection efficiencies have been quite strong there, we have seen very, very strong growth across the industry in this geography. Just wanted to understand how the, you know, competitive dynamic is there on the ground, and whether we are seeing, you know, any particular pockets where, you know, there is overheating in terms of lending, or, you know, larger ticket size, anything of that sort. Thank you.
Okay. The first one is about the recommendation. You know, this is one of the demand by MFI was to harmonize, basically to create a level playing field. In terms of microfinance business, because for the common asset class, there should be common rules. That is what one of the propagation we have been doing. It's also the interest rate, it's also the cap, margin cap, or it could be total lending. Like, for example, NHB has their own rules for the housing loan kind of. So it can be an asset class regulation rather than the entity level. So that is what the requirement and the request. We don't know what RBI is thinking about it. But what is that we prefer is the level playing field, and also to have a little higher income ability, because the credit cost and when the regulation was made, the credit cost was near to maybe 30 bps, 40 bps, 50 bps when the regulation was made. And probably at that time they were taken that as a possible cost. But today, last year and this year, last year it was close to 4.5 to 5%, and this year also again it will be definitely more than 2-3% because of the current situation. So that makes the MFIs the lesser ability to perform and, you know, deliver the return. So my strong belief is that there is a space for the regulator to increase the NIM from a 10% or a margin cap from 10% to at least 20%, that is what one of, at least if you ask me, that will be our view. And then Bihar, sorry. On Bihar, our recovery was quite normal, quite good, close to 99% till March, even till 3 days back. Okay, so 3 days back there was a lockdown, and then initially there was no space for microfinance to operate, but thanks to MFIN intervention, they already gave the, today I think they allowed MFIs can operate and they can do they can be part of the essential service. We have not seen any specific overheat or anything, but we have seen some places of tribal and all, we need to be careful. Because, you know, there are several places, some tribal belt closer to Jharkhand state and all. So there we should be extremely careful, because again the Assam experience, one need to be thinking carefully where if the tribal area, I think MFI should not go and lend heavily, and we should be careful. So but for that, we are not seeing any other impact or so far for the industry or for the any institution there.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Parmeshwaram from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. So I have two questions. Firstly, what percentage of your customers are more than one loan from you? That is my first question. And secondly, what is your approach towards restructuring? Considering obviously the customers' businesses have been impacted, your operations on the ground have also been impacted, and you can't, you know, offer a moratorium unless you do a restructuring. So in this restructuring 2.0, what is your approach going to be? Thanks.
Parmeshwaram, see, for our every customer can have more than one loan actually in the process, because we, for our customers, it's a credit line. It is not a loan actually. We define a credit line based on the vintage, and as the vintage, they can borrow for their income generation, education for their kids, medical emergencies, building toilet, connecting water, repairing home. Any of their life cycle needs, they can borrow within that limit. That's why there is no need for us to track why customer have borrowed loan and all. So long that the group approves, the customer has the cash flow, we keep giving. That is why we really need not take that kind of data. That's what we do, because the facility is upfront provided to them. This is the bouquet of products we can use whenever you want. So, I mean, based on the customers, not necessarily they draw the money, but access is given to them whenever they need. But still, our outstanding more than one loan, maybe 20-25% customer only. Maybe. I don't know right now. Maybe that much only. Because even though they can draw money, but actual drawal is only 20%. Restructure we did actually. That's what we thought. We enabled restructure where customers have difficulty. But we did very less, because in microfinance, unless customer starts with small payments, restructuring is nothing but postponing the problem. So only right. Where they're ready to pay at least 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, some amount, then we restructure based on their what cash they have as what they're ability to pay. That is why we did only about 75 crores so far, and then the last quarter. But last quarter we were together. But still, we are actually getting almost 98% collection in those accounts. So the sector is that. Otherwise, if customers not able to pay money, nor we are not able to reach them, and there is no point in restructuring those sectors. So we are just only postponing the problem. We don't want to.
Right. But so last time you had, of course, the benefit of moratorium. This time you cannot offer that unless you explicitly restructure, which is why I was asking. And obviously your customer base has been impacted and your operations have also been impacted.
Customer's ability to pay is there. Okay, see, I will not default. They will come and start payment. Maybe I will give them a repayment holiday if required for some period if they want. That's allowed as per the current RBA whatever. So maybe we can give them a 4 weeks of work. We can call it moratorium, or we can call it a deferred payment. We can work on that. So there is enough space is given to the lender if they want to, and then the period is given to them. I think we can work with the customer based on their requirement and do the required facilitation to the customer.
Got it. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Radhakrishnan from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. I'll keep them short. I just wanted to understand with the current second wave hitting, what is the outlook for disbursements over the next couple of months for you? And my second question is an extension of your previous answer. You said you could look at possible restructuring or a moratorium or a payment holiday. What percentage of your portfolio do you expect that you will extend such flexibility?
Radhakrishnan, both questions are little difficult to answer right now, because depends on how strong is the COVID wave in the next 1 month. How strong will be the local restriction in this part of it, because if the restrictions are higher, obviously we cannot disperse somebody, right? And restrictions are longer, then obviously at least 2 months your disbursement or collection most can impact. So I think we need to see through this, and based on the situation we will work. Obviously first quarter will be lesser disbursement, and lesser disbursement, there will be collection may be impacted, whole operation may be impacted. We're expecting this whole situation will be shorter period and not the longer period. So if the shorter period interventions, we have seen customers' ability to come back to normalcy is much faster. We have seen many times such issues happen. Let us say there was a flood situation for 10-15 days, or there was a drought situation. We have not seen a problem in our group, right? So shorter period will not impact your book. So, and then customers will come back and behave normally, and they will be able to. And the RBI, whatever they're doing, is only additional facilitation to us to handle in a better way, and a better way within the regulation also.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. I know it's been a long call, but here's one question in terms of your customer's own resilience. Is the resilience dependent on the line of business which they do? And have you found out some data and saying that, you know, we will give more to, let's say, certain lines of business which they do and not give to other lines of businesses? Like, for example, tailoring could be discretionary, but milch cow should be something which is more essential. So is there any data which is helpful in that direction? Thank you.
This is very pertinent for a retail kind of business. Well, an individual kind of business, but in a group business, there we derive a social collateral from the group, so and then the loan is tiny. Even a tailoring business means she will be buying one tailoring machine with 15,000 rupees. It is not a tailoring industry with 5-6 tailoring machines. So that is why it's slightly different than what is micro business essentially. So this is the group lending is a social collateral among two women loving each other. Seeing them every day. So normally the default is lesser because of that additional comfort. That's why we differentiate between the businesses. So long the group is strong, the group is paying, group delivery is good, group behavior is good. So in the individual basis, the retail book, obviously we'll see such kind of differences.
Thank you, sir. That was useful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Uday Kumar Hebbar for closing comments.
So, one second. Sorry, it's a long day. Thank you for your participation. We recognize the anxiety of our stakeholders due to the current unprecedented and uncertain situation. However, we are confident that we derive the experience of our team and navigate as we build our business with resilience. Our team has proved this last year, which gives us strength and confidence to prove again. Take care and stay safe, both you and your family. Thank you and have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.